whether it's a away team player or a home team player, go to the host club secretary and say, this allegation has been thrown at me. I don't agree with it. I'm going to abandon the game and report the facts.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. You can listen to our weekly podcast every Friday from 5pm online at the website refereesworld.co.uk or through your podcast provider. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is Technical Director Referees at UAEFA based in Dubai, Mr. Richard Mellon. Richard, how's the weather looking? Probably better than we're ours.
Yeah, every day's a nice day here. I cannot remember the Arabic saying for every day's a nice day, but I learnt it during the week and I've forgotten it at the moment. That's the pressure of this podcast.
Memory like a sieve. So it's pretty wet here, just to give you a sense of day and time. Today is the 30th of October. It's Halloween here tomorrow. Do you celebrate Halloween in Dubai? Do they do that there?
Yes. Yes, they do. I was out... doing a little bit of shopping yesterday in the local mall, and there was Halloween gift boxes, let's say, you know, all that sort of stuff that the children do. Yes, so the answer to that.
Okay, so in this particular episode, we're going to touch on a couple of emails that we've received. So we will be talking, first of all, about yellow cards. We have some questions about that. We're going to talk about socks, and we're also going to be talking about if you as a referee are accused of being a racist. More of that to come. Let's crack on with the first bit. We had an email, Rich. We had an email from a level 7 referee who's fairly new to the game, wanted to ask some questions about a yellow card. So over to you, because you've got the details on this one.
Yeah, yeah. The email came in from Sean Conlon with London, who's with London FA. He's a level 7 referee, and he says he enjoys the podcast, etc. A quick question regarding playing advantage. You play advantage after a reckless challenge with the intention of returning to caution the player at the next break in play. Before this can be done, the same player commits another reckless challenge. Do you issue one caution for the second challenge, or should you issue two cautions followed by a red card?
That is a really, really good question.
Great question. And
a very good question from somebody who's fairly new to the game as a level 7. I think that's really good insight.
Yeah, I would put it down that probably Sean might have had this as a match day experience.
Yeah.
Or he's seen it somewhere.
Yeah.
But let me say to you, what would be your view of it, Dar? How, you know, I mean, it's easy for me to come in and say, well, you need to do this. This is how you do it, et cetera, et cetera. But this isn't all about me. This is about active referees learning. So you're the active referee in this case. What are you going to be doing, thinking about this?
I'm inclined to say that there was two reckless challenges, both of which deserve a yellow card. So I would go back to the player and I would tell him, I'd show him the card for the first one, and I would make it obvious why I'm going to book him again, because some people may think, hang on, what's that all about? So you need to make it clear to whoever's surrounding and book him again to give him a red card and send him off or her off. That is how I'm thinking at it logically, based on the laws of the game, but I may well be wrong. I probably am.
Okay, let's break this down a little bit and explain for the listeners, and hopefully we can give some guidance to Sean as well. Why would you want to play advantage from a reckless challenge?
One of the things that you always say is don't manage reckless.
Correct. Don't even take the chance with managing reckless. But there are times when some places on the field of play, you're going to allow the game to continue and invoke the advantage clause, because there is a strong feeling for the referee that something could develop in a positive sense. But I still say, if you're willing to take the chance with advantage on a reckless challenge, what could happen next 10, 15, 20 metres? You know, you've had a reckless challenge just inside the defensive half, and the next reckless challenge happens in the attacking third. Okay, the players progress 40 yards. You had a reckless challenge just in halfway. You've got a next reckless challenge from the same player on the edge of the penalty area. They are two yellow card offences. followed by the inevitable red card. You have to do it.
Okay, hopefully, Sean, that's answered your question. Here's an email that we've received from Stuart Clayton. He says, I've been looking at yellow card stats for EPL for 3 or 4 years now, and I'm interested to know your opinion on which factors are the most significant in increasing the likelihood of over 3.5 cards. At times, I think it's all random, yet patterns do emerge. Do you think styles, tactics of teams can affect cards? West Ham under Moyes and Arsenal under Arteta have become low-carded. Do you think this is personality of players, or rather how the team plays? Also, intensity in a game seems important. The prime example being of EFL Cup games, being extremely low for bookings. Liverpool, Man City dominate games and their games are generally low. Man United this season have found it extremely difficult to draw a card-worthy card from an opponent. Referee plays a role, e.g. Mike Dean compared with Martin Atkinson. Andre Mariner, for instance, has a laid-back approach, which tallies with his card history. But this season, he has issued more cards than usual. I find all this fascinating. I'd love it if you could indulge me with ideas of what you consider important factors in the giving of yellow cards. Many thanks, Stuart. Now, that is a real anorak question, but I love it. Stuart, great to hear from you.
Hello, this is a bad line. I cannot hear that question.
Oh, Rich,
that is,
yeah.
That is really pushing it to the extreme. Let me just go back over a couple of, let's say, opinions and thoughts that have been expressed by other people, and including myself. The referees on the Premier League, in my opinion, I'm biased, I know, but in my opinion, they're the best in the world. They're the best group of referees in the world. They've proved this time and time again. The training that they get is immense. It's tough. It's very intense, to say the least. I think I've used that word too many times now. But the expectation and the demands of the Premier League make the Premier League an unusual beast. It is a beast. And when you step from the Football League into the Championship, into the Premier League, each step is a major step in refereeing. And so consequently, the recognition of, let's call it professionalism within the players, the players are quite cynical at times, and the laws of the game are certainly applied much more stringently in many, many cases. The fact that there's a low card count, I cannot speak on behalf of any of the managers in the Premier League, having had contact with them, as regards their approach on the field of play. But what I do see coming further down the ladder is an approach from the technical area that's aggressive. Sometimes that is duplicated out on the field of play. So the attitude of the managers on the field, managers off the field of play, is setting an image, and setting the image of the game to protect it is important. So consequently, I have met David Moyes on a couple of occasions, but nothing more than just socially at a game, just having a cup of tea type of thing. But we've never discussed anything to any great detail. Now, David's teams are competitive, but then all teams are competitive in a different way. You look at the style of play of some of these teams, and it's all about the ability of the players, the coaching staff, what they can get out of the players, etc., etc. So to make a comparison that would help referees at Premier League level and copy it down at... Let's say your game. We discussed on the last podcast when you went to watch it, Town versus Staple Grove. It's not something that you can copy. You can't always copy what you see on the Premier League, Darren, or the Football League. It's very, very tough. And so consequently, I say match the expectation where you're refereeing. Don't try to duplicate what you see on the Premier League. Some of the things that they do, you can copy, but not all of it. Certainly a long way from that at times.
It sounds like it's prayer time.
I'll get off my pedestal now. Yes, it is prayer time. Let me just close the door.
Yeah.
There we go.
Brilliant. Right, yeah. Okay.
There's another first for the podcast.
Yeah, I love it. Right, okay. So thanks for clarifying that. And again, Stuart, a brilliant question. And I'm sure that that is an interesting hobby to have in terms of examining stats of yellow cards given over the last few years. Now,
Stuart's actually analysing cards. I mean, let me just expand it a little bit further then. I mean, in the last, I think it's about 5 years, maybe a little bit less, sin bins have been introduced. There was a concern within control of the game that there were too many yellow cards. There was too much dissent not being dealt with. There was a lot of things going on in the game that were unsavoury, and the governing bodies took the decision to introduce sin bins. Has sin bins really answered the question of dissent? I hope it has, but I don't know. So maybe if Stuart's in that sort of analysing world and knows a little bit on that, perhaps he could sort of share some of that on another email to us and let us know what he thinks. But has the sin bin served a purpose, and is it continuing to serve a purpose of keeping the game tidy? I know, and it's been seen on social media, that there is still a lot of animosity, aggression, uncontrolled aggression in many cases still going on. So, you know, it's a very debatable situation. But the laws of the game have been written in a particular style for many, many years, since I can remember refereeing myself, that if a player shows dissent, he shall be shown the yellow card in the opinion of the referee. Okay, it's been tweaked a little bit to help control the game with sin bins being introduced. And respect campaign, etc., etc. All sorts of things have been introduced to try and help increase participation. That's referees, players, you know, whatever gender, whatever age level. And it just, you know, it needs continued review time and time again, season after season, to keep up with the trends.
Okay, something I want to talk about now, which is something that I've noticed a lot more that's happening at the games that I'm on. Obviously, there is a law that says any tape around the socks of the players has to be the same colour as the socks, OK? Now, when you apply this law to some of the lower league and lower divisions, a lot of them start to think you're being a bit pedantic and one thing and another. What I have noticed now is that a lot of teams are rocking up and they've got big chunks of white at the bottom of the socks. They've got their tape and whatnot, and then the top half of the sock is their team colour. It appears that they're cutting off the bottom, the foot part of the sock, and basically using the rest of the sock as a sleeve to go over some white socks that they're a bit more comfortable in boots with. So you're having a whole mixture of socks and colours and all sorts going on here. What are your views on this, Rich? And how do we get around it? I had a situation last night where gradually through the game, there was more and more of this white sock showing as opposed to the blue as what it should have been. And then you've got the guys that want the different coloured tape. And then you've got these Velcro straps around the ankles and one thing and another, again, a different colour. What it's doing is when I approach the teams and the players about it, they're instantly going, God, blooming hell, ref, you're strict. Is there, you know, do you need to get too anal about all of this? And then you start to worry about your credibility, your standing within the game, and how they're going to approach you as a referee. Do you see where I'm coming from with this? And
I do know where you're coming from.
Do you think that
you're into a minefield here, Darren?
Do you think that maybe on a local level, the local FA should start to enforce the colours of socks? It's happening more and more and more.
Okay, where to start with this situation? That's not going to be easy, and hopefully I picked the right particular part. The design of kit is very, it's very much a fashion, isn't it? Football kits are very much a fashion.
Yeah.
And if I use what I see out here, I've seen 14 professional teams here, and I've seen equally the same number in the first division. The kit designers, whoever they may be, all the different brands, Nike, Umbro, Macron, you name them, whoever they are, they love colours, they love design, and people are willing to say, yeah, we'll have that. We'll have an all purple kit. We'll have an all yellow kit, or we'll have black and white stripes, black shorts, white socks. There is so much going on as regards the design. I think it's such a costly thing in finance that when you come to, say, buying a pair of boots, look how boots have changed. Yeah. You're now getting sock boots, as I call them, yeah, with little ankle pieces on them.
Blame Ronaldo for that.
Yeah. Okay, maybe they're not as popular as what people seem to think they are, but I see so many different colours of boots. And there's green boots, orange boots, white boots, blue boots, you name it, they're out here. And I don't think that's anything different around the world. And with those little bits and pieces, the sock part of the boot is creeping up the ankle a little bit, over the ankle. And it's a bit of protection. The other day, I thought I'd seen, someone wearing sock boots because he had blue socks, navy blue socks, and white boots. And I just thought, okay, that's why you've got a little bit of an ankle sock that's showing there on your boot because it's part of the boot. But no, it wasn't. He claimed it was because he had tape around the ankle and around the top of his boot. But when I saw it in the changing room, and I didn't go looking for it, someone just brought it to me because they took umbrage to it and said, oh, you know, this is not acceptable. You know, I'm thinking, this is so futile that leave it alone, make sure it's not there next time. But someone was so insistent that it got sorted out at the time. And people use tape for whatever reasons they do. And I put it down to the design of the kit, which is making it a bit more difficult. Mm. You know, unless you're an electrician, how many different types of tape have you got in your kit bag? You know, that's where I start. Whether or not you want to continue this conversation any further, I don't know, because it's a minefield.
One of the things that you do talk about quite a lot is protect your profile as a referee. Now, if you're administering the laws of the game by telling the teams that they have to wear tape or supports that are the same colour as their socks, and then they're coming in with socks that are half a sock and just a sleeve and not the actual foot bit as well, at what point do you draw the line? That's kind of where I'm at with it. But there's one to think about and there's one to ponder on. And if anybody's got any views on this, it would be great to hear from you. You can contact us through the website, which is refereesworld.co.uk. Now, on to our final bit. And this only came about after a discussion after my game last night. It hasn't happened to me. I know that it's happened to somebody else. And it did come about in a conversation after my game. If you're refereeing a team, which it consists of different nationalities, and one member of that team turns around to you and says, after a decision you've given against them, you're a racist referee, what is the course of action do you take?
Wow. I've never, ever had the issue of racism in my refereeing career as a referee, but I am aware of racism since I became an observer, and it did happen. And there was allegations, and that's what it was. It was an allegation, which wasn't proven at the time, but it went to the authorities to discuss and investigate. The accusation coming from a player to a referee saying that you're a racist, I would very cautiously approach an official of that club, take that player with me, and say, I've been accused of being a racist. Now, I don't know on what grounds this is going to stand, but if this opinion remains within the game, then I don't want to referee the game through fear of something escalating here, because sure, I don't agree with any racism in the game. And this is a big hit at the moment in the UK. The fact that you've been alleged to have, well, he's alleging it, he's saying that you're a racist, take it to a manager, a club secretary immediately. Don't ignore it during the game. If someone tells you you're a racist, stop the game. Stop the game and get it sorted out there and then. And my immediate advice is, if you're being told that you're a racist by a player, abandon the game. The other thing I would do about this is don't approach that one person on your own. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you've got other people around you. He or she has got other people around her or him. And then it's not a one against one. You said this, I said that. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Yes, I did. Yeah. No, you didn't. That is, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So just keep it in the open with other people bearing witness.
Yeah.
And as I say, if it happens in a game, stop the game immediately. Go to someone in authority of that home club, whether it's a away team player or a home team player. Go to the host club secretary and say, this allegation has been thrown at me. I don't agree with it. I'm going to abandon the game and report the facts and then let the process begin.
Straight to the point, and that's how it had to be. And that is
it's not nice, and
we don't touch on serious stuff like this on a regular basis, but the current climate that we're in, I think it's worth a discussion. And this only came off the back of a chat that I had last night at my game. And thank you very much for sharing your views on that one, Rich. And thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can post and share the podcast. You can go to your podcast provider and search out Referees World Podcast. You can listen online at refereesworld.co.uk.
This is the Referees World Podcast.